bring your pig to work day. My dog is out here with us and she's obnoxious. So apologies. This is Winnie. And it's really funny because I was listening to the Millie Bobby Brown interview and she was talking about how she has a dog named Winnie and that she wanted that name for her kid, but her dog ruined the name for her. And I was like, huh, that's so fucking relatable. I think Winnie Winifred is an adorable name, but now I have a dog named Winnie and she's a bat out of hell. So
she's insane.
Yeah, she's crazy. But I love her.
We say she has a screw loose, and then sometimes we say, oh, wait, maybe there are no screws.
Yeah, there's no screws, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're loose. I think they're non-existent.
Right.
There are no screws.
No screws rattling around, just no screws at all.
No screws rattling, no screws at all.
Nope.
All right, what you got for me?
Oh, it's me. In the land of disturbing facts, we are going to talk about corpse medicine. Have you heard of corpse medicine?
Maybe, but tell me.
There's a lot. So I'm not doing a lot. I'm only doing like one piece.
Well, I don't want to steal what you might be saying. So just go ahead.
Okay, thief, word thief. All right. So there was once a period in history in which using blood, fat, and skulls of the dead was common practice in medicine. For several hundred years, Winnie, peaking in the 16th and 17th century, the treatment for many ailments might have been a piece of one of your fellow humans. So this probably sounds illogical and even disgusting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Many physicians operated under the thought that like treated like. So same, same.
So like if your head hurts, you just drink a glass of ground up skull tea.
Yep. There you go. Exactly. So yeah, exactly. Like treats like. And the body contained a vital life force that if transplanted into the body of an ill individual could help them heal and regain their vitality, which is sort of like some sort of sorcery because it's like thinking it's like that whole like if I sacrifice a virgin, I'll live for 20 more years kind of thing.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of what it sounds like, does it not? It's like, oh, this person's dead and I'm going to drink their blood and then I'm going to live. Well, they're dead. How is drinking dead person's blood going to help you live or heal you? It isn't.
I feel like that's like the shrunken heads and the people wearing the heads on the belt. It's like that it should deter them. But like I personally, if that was me and I saw you, sorry, Winnie's crazy. No screws. If I saw you with a million belts on a million heads on your belt, I'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to get that person and then I'm going to have all their heads too.
Maybe, but I don't know. I think it's just weird. Like if you die because you're sick, I don't want your fucking sick blood or your sick skull.
Yeah, because if you died from malaria and then you drink the blood of someone with malaria to heal your malaria, well, isn't that just a double death sentence?
Right, a double dose of malaria.
Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like it's... Well, obviously it isn't true and it doesn't work, but it was the thinking way back when. Back in the day.
Okay.
And if the cadaver had suffered a violent death, even better. So that being said,
even better, the worse you die, because it's easier to grind your skull up if your skull's already broken into 62 pieces.
Well, and so that being said, executioners would sell bodies or body parts or harvesting the parts to doctors who used the bodies and the body parts for medical treatments. So, yeah. And the more violent the death, the spirit would be trapped inside the person's flesh and bones.
And bones?
Bones. So it would be more vital, like more vigorous, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Like if you die a violent, angry death, your fucking soul is trying to hold on to your body. Like, no, don't kill me. And so your fucking body parts are like way more
valuable.
Way more better.
More valuable because they have soul attached to them.
Yeah, I guess. That's what the thinking was. If you suffered from like joint pain, a salve, as Daphne calls it, of human fat would help ease your discomfort and nosebleeds complicating your life. Then how about like sticking a piece of skull moss? So skull that's like ground and turned into like kind of a fluffy like pate.
Minus the T.
Right. And place it up your nostrils.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's odd.
Yeah. How do you like that? And like they would melt the fat down and like wrap it. Like they would melt your fat and then put like wound dressing, like dip it in wound dressing.
Like gauze. Yeah. I've seen that before.
Like recently?
No, like online looking for like disturbing facts, but then I couldn't find much about it.
Yeah. So they melt the fat and then they dip wound dressings, gauze, probably not in the 1500s, but some sort of fabric into the melted fat. And then they wrap your wounds with dead person's melted fat.
That's so gross.
It's so gross.
That's like really disgusting.
Very disgusting. So anyway, there you have it. There's
disgusting
just
facts.
A little taste of corpse medicine because there's a whole lot.
Yeah,
I find a lot of things.
The fat wrapped, I've heard that before, but I thought you were going to say something different, but I won't say it, or you can pause it and I'll tell you what I was going to say. All right, well, I shared what I needed to share, and now the cats are popping off too. So don't mind Winnie, don't mind the cats, apologies. We'll try our best to get the sounds out. She sounds like a velociraptor though. So if you hear that, we have the very first modern day velociraptor.
Yes, the Winlociraptor.
The Winlociraptor, yes.
Okay, hey, Daphne, we're going to hear some more about Lloyd.
Yes, here's some more about Lloyd. You know, I don't like recaps, so listen to part one.
So suck it. Go backwards.
So listen to part one. Okay, in the last episode, though, I said he drove a Ford Bronco, and I meant to say a Pinto.
That's so different.
That's so different. So he's doing donuts in his Pinto, not his Bronco.
Okay, yeah, that's very, very different.
Also, I messed up. Chi is the younger brother, but they also did lose another brother still to gang violence.
Okay.
So Chi was younger than Lloyd. And I was able to narrow down and find Annette, the victim, on Find a Grave. And if that is in fact her, she was 43 years old, but I was not able to find anything about Percy. So I don't know.
Okay.
There's just not a lot out there about the victims, unfortunately.
I hate that. But thank you for your updates.
Yes, absolutely.
And a Pinto is way fucking different than a Bronco.
Way lower center of gravity. And they explode.
Yes. And they're kind of weirdly shaped.
Yeah. Maybe donut-y shapedy goodness.
Maybe for doing donuts, yeah.
Yes, okay. No, not shaped like a donut. Yeah, not driving, like, not rolling around in a giant donut. Oh my God, how could you imagine? That'd be so cool. Like a giant tire, but it's a donut and you get to eat little bites of it while you're rolling around in it.
Yes.
Hi, Winnie. Okay, apparently Winnie's going to sit on my lap. So good snort right in the microphone.
Yes.
Don't drink my chocolate chai.
That's why she's in your lap.
I know, right? She wants my chocolate chai. Okay, where we left off, people were a little bit sus about him on the set of Shot because he was a very sus person, right?
And that movie was called Shot.
I told you the last movie he was working on with the photographer.
When he was in prison. It was in the prison?
No, that was called Lockdown.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't remember being called Shot.
We were talking about the movie where I was like, oh, but it's not shot in like, you know, someone has a gun and they're going to shoot you, like shot like a camera shot.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's coming back to me now.
Okay, so do you need a recap since you didn't listen to part one?
No. I'm here for it.
Sorry. Had to get rid of Winnie and she's coming back. Yeah, hopefully she'll just settle now. She's just crazy and she wouldn't take no for an answer. So that's why she's out here.
When I made homemade dog treats with lavender and chamomile, and she had one before we came out. So hopefully she had two,
you just told me.
She did have two because she ate it, the other dog who spit it out. She was like, oh, those are good. I'll have it. Thanks.
She ate the treat, to be clear, not the other dog. Okay. So even the director asked him one day if he killed someone and he just like kind of smirked. And then he goes missing from the set of the movie Shot. Like he just like doesn't show back up to work one day. And the LAPD was investigating the murders of Annette and Percy, right? Mm-hmm. When they matched the bullets from the three different crime scenes and connected the shooting to Lloyd Avery. And a lot of upcoming info that I have here is from firsthand from a journalist who like reached out and like did interviews with different people. So a lot of this came from that and from that article. And that's from trulyadventure.us.
So firsthand information from people who knew him.
Firsthand from like the brother. Yeah. From Chi and prison guards and different things. Okay.
Okay.
So he was still sleeping at his grandma's house.
So he had moved out of the building.
I told you that he was living at his grandma's house.
I'm so sorry. Apparently there are just things I held on to about this episode.
Oh, that he was living in the office building. Yeah. Yeah. No, he left that place.
Okay.
Now he's living at his grandma's house and the LAPD,
to do.
The LAPD knew exactly where he was. And they, I don't know why they waited to arrest him, but they did. But they knew like where he was. Like he wasn't really hiding very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he thought they weren't going to get him.
And he told his brother before they came to get him. Like he knew he was, it was kind of like the end and they like heard the helicopters and started hearing the sirens. He was like, he's like, it's probably better that I go to prison. I'll get a fresh start.
So it was like a big to do arresting him.
Yeah. He's dangerous. He's violent.
But how many people are dangerous and violent and there's no helicopters?
Yeah. They said they could hear helicopters.
No, I believe you.
But he was telling his brother, yeah, it was probably like the best case scenario that he go to prison. But then instead of getting arrested, he slipped out the back of his grandma's house with his bike.
It's the best case scenario that I get arrested, but I'm going to peace out.
Right. But I'm going to do it on my own terms. And he made his way up to Crescent Heights Boulevard, made a U-turn, pulled alongside the driver's side of a police cruiser. And then he leaned forward, looked in the police cruiser and said, what's up? And then the officer and Lloyd kind of had like this like weird like face thing happening where he was like, oh, shit, this is the guy who I'm supposed to be looking for. And Lloyd's like, oh, shit, I am the guy you're coming for. And then he attempted to run, speed away on his bike, I guess. And he actually got away until he literally ran into a police car.
Good.
Later.
Good. I have no words. And those weren't words.
And then Chi said this after, like, he got arrested finally. He said, quote, instead of being a Hollywood-like studio gangster, he was living it. My brother had turned into a for real gangster.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sad and scary.
Totally.
Especially because he came from an upper middle class, upper middle class.
Yeah. They had a freaking pool.
Yeah. And he went to Beverly Hills High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was friends with QD3.
Yeah.
And other people.
The Menendez brothers.
That was his brother.
Oh, yeah. Which makes
sense. His brother partied with the Menendez brothers.
Okay.
Okay, so Lloyd Avery's arrest date was December 8th, 1999. He had been apprehended following a tip from Sean Spraker. Remember the roommate that he lived with? The talent agent's son? Well, apparently they had a falling out at some point because he also maced Christine, the mom, the talent manager.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, like, he did it in, like, a privileged office, like, meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, yeah, I know where he's living. Go get him.
What the fuck?
He likes to mace people. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah. No, I'm just.
Pepper spray is his friend.
Yeah. Well, it can be.
When he got to jail, Clark, who was the senior chaplain at the county jail, he said that Lloyd sat first row in every single one of his services, that he was eager to learn. And then he soon was like, greeted by Lloyd every day in his office for daily chats. Like they were doing like individual Bible study, talking about God. Whenever Lloyd like committed himself to something, obviously like he went all in. So now he's religious as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was committed to being a real life gangster after playing one as knucklehead number two. So now he's a real Christian.
Okay.
And Clark said, quote, his faith was as real as any man's faith I've ever known.
So it wasn't just like a ploy to get out of his cell and.
No.
Okay. Gotcha.
No. Like he really embraced dug in. It. Yeah. So when he finally went to trial, he would carry his Bible around and he highlighted passages and he would scribble in the margins of the Bible. And his fellow inmates nicknamed him Baby Jesus. During his trial, there were a lot of holes and the murder weapon was never recovered. The Colt 45.
Mm-hmm. And two zigzags.
Baby, that's all we need.
Can't help it. I'm sorry.
And the eyewitnesses who identified Lloyd all had credibility issues. The star witness was asked for money and asked for money in exchange for a testimony. Another witness claimed that the shooter was 5'7 and dark skinned.
Wait. Asked for money in order to testify?
Yeah. Was like, I won't testify unless you pay me.
So, yeah, okay. At that point, where's your credibility?
Exactly. That's why I said they had no credibility. The other one saw that the shooter was 5'7 and dark skinned. No, he's like pretty light skinned.
Yeah, he's
mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's Hispanic and black.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like 6'2. And so he's not 5'7.
So if you're 6'2, you're not 5'7. Wait.
So that's what the other witness said. That's what the other witness is saying.
No, I got you.
And then the third witness, Percy Branch, the victim who died 3 weeks, straight up identified Lloyd Avery and said he's not the shooter.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of issues. And police also accidentally destroyed the shell casings from the two shootings involving him from the spring of 1999.
Oops.
Yeah, that were said to, you know, match the ballistics for the shooting with the double murder. So the DA, Hoon Chun.
Okay, so I have these bullets that match a murder. And
oops, and I lost them.
I accidentally destroyed them.
Yeah, I destroyed them by accident. I lost. I don't know. They just are like gone. I accidentally blew them up.
Cool.
I ran them over.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Way to go.
So the DA, Hoon Chun. Hoon Chun.
Can I ask you a question though first?
Yeah.
So the shell casings that they lost that were a match to the double homicide of Angela and Percy.
Yes.
Right?
Annette
and Percy, was that gun for sure Lloyd's or no? Or do we know?
Well, we don't know for a fact that it was Lloyd's, but he was the one that did the shooting.
I thought that Percy said he didn't.
Percy said he didn't. Remember, I also said Percy had some issues.
Yes.
And was hella doped up because he was in the hospital getting treated for a couple gunshot wounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But so Lloyd did do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he went to prison for it. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's doesn't mean he did it.
But. Yeah, but he went to prison for it and people believe that he did it. Like he's known for being a killer.
Okay.
So, yes. And apparently he's going around smirking when people ask him if he's ever killed someone.
Okay.
The DA looked at the jury and just like point blank said, "You've heard the phrase art imitating life. Well, this case is about life imitating and even exceeding art," like referring to, you know, he was knucklehead number two. Now he's taking his gangster role too seriously.
Yes. He's method acting.
Yeah, literally. The judge, Robert J. Perry, said it's an embarrassment, certainly, and it's shoddy police work, unquestionably. Yeah.
You think?
Right. So then he took the stand. He argued with the DA when the lawyer downplayed his popularity, and he offered a weak alibi for his location at the time of the murder, saying he was somewhere in Hollywood. So then he's later convicted, right? Like I just said, he went to prison on 2 counts of first-degree murder. He's sentenced to life in prison. He arrived at Pelican Bay, the prison, in March 2001. Now, let's fast forward a bit to September 4th, okay, 2005.
Oh, we're really fast forwarding.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything else is pretty insignificant. Like, he was
there.
Baby Jesus known to his people, you know, going to church.
Doing his time.
Yeah, doing just his being time. There. Yeah, he's not causing any problems. He's just existing in church or in prison, not in church. I'm sorry.
Both prison, yeah. Church.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So September 4th, 2005, when according to documented reports, Lloyd Avery and his cellmate, Kevin, I assume it's Roby is his last name. It's only one B.
Okay.
I just think it's not Robbie because it's two. That would be two B's in my mind. But maybe it is Robbie. I don't know. Got into an argument about religious differences and Lloyd later became the 18th person murdered in this prison. Ooh. Since its opening in 1989.
Oh.
So, like, there's a lot of murder that happens in this prison.
Say, that's not a very good track record.
No. So, Kevin Robbie would later, Roby, however, would later come out to say that he was pushing his agenda to convert me to Christianity, which led us to fighting. So Kevin Robbie, or Roby, I don't know. I guess I'm rolling with both. He's just Kevin. was born in 1959 in Los Angeles. Pretty insignificant background. Can't really find much about him. But he was in the military and he was in the Air Force Academy until he either dropped out or he was discharged. One or the other. But regardless, mental instability problems.
Okay.
And so then, yeah, he's whatever. He's living at his mom's house then until he is in prison. And in 1987, police and detectives showed up to Kevin's mom's house to ask about his eyewitness testimony about his sister. This is another one. Velmalin. His sister Velmalin Hill's abduction. He was like, you know, saying that he saw her get abducted. She's a missing person. All this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to him, Velmalin had been kidnapped from their mother's home by 3 men who were dressed up as ninja warriors. He, like, couldn't really give much information other than the fact that they were dressed up as ninja warriors, but they carried the sister off. And then the detectives were like, can you walk us through, like, the exact place that all of this took place, that all of this went down? And as they're walking through the, you know, what was an abduction crime scene turns to a murder crime scene when they find his sister's body shoved in a trash can covered in dog food.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yes. So obviously now Kevin's a suspect and he's arrested. Mm-hmm. It was found that she was really brutally murdered. He raped her twice, sodomized her, and his then strangled own sister? Her. Yeah, his own sister.
I mean, I know siblings kill each other, but the rape and sodomy and...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's horrible.
Next level.
Yeah. Satanic.
Is it satanic?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'm like, it's just next level as far as I'm concerned, but sure.
Yes. Well, he's a Satanist, so yes.
Okay.
It doesn't get so...
But just... Never mind.
It doesn't get so... He's not so invested in it until later, but yes, at this point, he's like developing his interest.
Okay.
Well, oh my gosh, I blew it for myself. I have it in my notes down here. Guess what? He began taking an interest in. Guess. And then you're supposed to go, I don't know. I go, insanism. Or you're supposed to guess, and I'm going to go, yes. Kevin was convicted in May 1988 at a non-jury trial by the Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Robert Altman. One count of each murder, sodomy, and then two counts of rape. So he's in... prison for life, no possibility of parole. He was also charged with raping another sister and received life.
He's a mess.
Yeah.
He's a sick, twisted person.
Yeah. He's disgusting.
Yeah.
He's a bad human.
Yeah.
So he arrived at Pelican Bay when they opened their doors in 1989. And he was sent to the Supermax facility where he joined the other 40% of the inmate population who were serving life sentences for violent crimes. So this is a Supermax. Mm-hmm. And at some point he became interested, like really just dove headfirst into Satanism. Dove so headfirst he smacked his head in the bottom of the pool and forgot all of his morals that he maybe never ever had or maybe did have.
Okay. But that wasn't so his interest in Satanism was after he was in prison or he was like dabbling in it prior to.
I think he was dabbling in it a little bit.
Okay.
But I think it just kicked up a notch after he was in prison.
I just wow. So Kevin, I think just because you're a Satanist doesn't mean that you kill anyone.
No.
Or rape and sodomize your own sister.
I feel
and
like
rape your other sister.
Yeah. Being a Satanist does not equate to murder.
No.
Maybe in some cases, some people, but so can being a Christian, apparently.
Yeah.
Kevin so and Lloyd.
Anything.
They became cellmates in August of 2005, so 1 month before the murder. Mm-hmm. Lloyd wrote to Clark, the chaplain, mm-hmm. in a letter from dated August 29th, he said, quote, I know God has him around me for a reason. He knows very well that I am a devout Christian, and I prayed for him to the Lord every day that he gives his life to God. So now Lloyd has this agenda, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's like trying to and push it on him.
That transfixed guy where like when
he's head first as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, where he's, you know, he went from being gangster to now. Gonna go into priesthood, yeah.
Right, he does everything full throttle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He commits 110%.
Yeah.
So back to the fight that broke out on September 4th. It ended with Kevin choking Lloyd unconscious, which made him bleed into his lungs, which he then placed Lloyd's body under the in bed under the covers. Mm-hmm. And over the next day and a half, correctional facility officers made 11 counts of the inmates, including a standing count at 4:30 p.m. one of these days. And each time Lloyd was accounted for.
But he was in bed.
Because he was in bed. Yeah, even though there was the standing one, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the standing one, he wasn't there standing. He was in bed.
Right. Meanwhile, Kevin was like eating his food. You know, the mm-hmm. food's coming in the cell and he's eating it. Mm-hmm. He responded to one of Lloyd's pen pals, which was a lady of interest for him.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So he's like writing back and forth, pretending to be Lloyd with these people. And if you believe his really fucked up, ridiculous, horrible stories, he tied a string to Lloyd's arm. And so when the correctional officers were coming around to tally him, he was raising his arm up in the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that fucked up?
That's next level again, because that really requires some thought.
Yeah. Being like, how do I not get busted for this? Mm-hmm.
Well, and eventually, you know, he's going to start to decompose and they're going to notice that
So the following day before the noon count, he positioned Lloyd into a pentagram in which he drew in Lloyd's blood, this pentagram on the ground. He put his body in there and then he painted the walls with Lloyd's blood also. And apparently it was part of his it was a ritual where he was sacrificing him to Satan and trying to warn God.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's really fucked up.
It's totally fucked up. Yeah. I told you it's like this one's like emotional.
Yeah, that's really,
because it's really sad and fucked up.
Yeah, that's really sad.
So we later learned that he's a schizophrenic.
And it's sad for Lloyd because on so many levels. But, you know, when you if he got choked unconscious and then ended up drowning on his own blood, that's not a quick death.
No, not at all.
No.
It sucks. Yeah, he's literally asphyxiating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really sad.
He told someone, quote, "He is next on the agenda once I accomplish what I want to accomplish in this realm."
Wow.
Yeah.
I just, and this is going to sound bad, but it feels like in spite of Lloyd's bullshit, he's kind of a likable person.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah, people really liked him. Well, they did and they didn't.
Right.
Because he was, you know, he was popular when he was younger before he decided to method act into being a gangster. He was very likable, had a lot of friends. He was the jokester. He was the funny guy. You know, people really liked him. Yeah. Even his friends kept him around through all that and were like, oh, that's just Lloyd being Lloyd.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, in spite of all the bad
things. I mean, definitely don't dig the murders that he did, but definitely also doesn't probably deserve this kind of way to go out either.
No, I don't think. I was going to say, I don't think anybody does.
Samuel Little up to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think anybody does, but I think some people do. But I don't think Lloyd was one of the ones who does.
Right. Well, and it's also like if you're trying to make a sacrifice to Satan, wouldn't you pick someone who's not reformed and bad still?
Maybe.
Not someone who's good.
Well, you said he was schizophrenic.
But he's trying to warn God also. Yeah. That's what he said. So they handcuffed Kevin, transferred Lloyd's body to the infirmary, and they tried to administrate CPR, even though they finally realized he was already decomposing. So then he was pronounced dead 2 days later after he actually died, 12:10 p.m.
And they tried to administer CPR, and he was decomposing.
Yeah, isn't that whack?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, is he really dead? Yeah, he's actually really dead.
Right. Actually decomposing.
It's actually, yeah.
So he's been dead.
Right. For 2 days.
Yeah.
2.5 at this point. I guess 1 full day, 1.5 days.
Yeah. Either way.
He was killed the night of September 4th and they found him then on the 6th.
Okay. Yeah.
So back in Los Angeles, Linda Avery, his mom, went to go pick up her grandson from school when she received a letter in the mail from Lloyd, and then minutes later got the call about that her son is dead.
That's so sad.
So from the start, it said that the family wasn't buying the story. Like Kevin was projecting the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't buying it. So they flew Chief flew to Pelican Bay, and he became like really suspicious upon the story was that he was pronounced dead right on the 6th, not on the 4th.
Right.
And his brother was like, he smells like old death.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a private autopsy, which contradicted some of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation's findings. They said that they listed aspiration of blood as his cause of death, with blunt force trauma as a contributing factor. Well, the family's private autopsy stated that the cause of death was blunt force trauma complicated by aspiration of the blood.
Okay.
So it also described an injury to his skull and a 1.5 inch abrasion on his temple, which looked like it was either from an elbow? Where did I just pull out elbow?
I don't know. I'm like, what is on his elbow to cause an abrasion? Sandpaper?
Suggested of either a blow to a flat surface, such as a carpenter's hammer.
Okay, how do you get a hammer in prison? Okay, well, never mind.
Or impact on a similar type of surface. So the reference to the carpenter's hammer led the family to believe that Kevin maybe didn't work alone. He wasn't alone in this crime.
Mm-hmm.
But the blunt force trauma, that some sort of weapon like this is also in line with Kevin banging Lloyd's head against the stainless steel sink in their cell.
Okay.
We'll try saying that 10 times fast. Stainless steel sink and sell. I think I said stink. So yeah, can't say it 10 times fast. Can't even say it once fast. Can't even say it once at all. There is no evidence that correctional officers were involved in Lloyd's death. Just but maybe not the best advocates for him.
I was going to say, but they were negligent in not finding him for fucking a day and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. So the family wanted a trial to bring justice, obviously, to get answers, get justice for Lloyd. But the DA refused to put Kevin on trial because he was not eligible for the death penalty and he'd already confessed to murder.
Why wasn't he eligible for the death penalty?
I don't think it's in California.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that they administer the death penalty in California.
So they just didn't try him because he already admitted it and he was already in prison serving life anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's still not really fair.
Right.
I mean, I guess it's a waste of taxpayers' money to try somebody who's not getting out anyway, but...
So obviously the family wanted someone to, you know, face the music for what had happened to their son. That's what
I'm thinking, yeah.
So they tried to file a wrongful death suit, but it was declined because no one would work for them. The attorneys were refusing to represent the family in the wrongful death suit because of their reputation. The family's reputation with Lloyd and other family members' reputations of being dicks, I guess.
Gangbangers.
No, not all gangbangers. Like, one person had, his own company, and he got sued, and which is a horrible client, horrible to work for.
Oh, okay.
It didn't really say too much, just it was, an uncle, I think.
Okay.
That used these lawyers, but basically they were having a hard time getting anyone to represent them. So the CDCR, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, they started two investigations under the California's Inspector General's Office's Bureau of Independent Review. One of those was into Lloyd's death. The other was on the negligence of the correctional officers and how they conducted their jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in early 2007, a report found that the correctional officers failed to follow the basic procedures when they discovered Lloyd's body, which would have been removing him from the crime scene before they photographed the crime scene. And of course, failing to notice that he was dead in his cell for 38 hours.
Mm-hmm. Problematic, yes.
Yeah. So following an appeal, five officers that were involved in their negligence. Their negligence was what made them be involved. So following the appeal, five officers received disciplinary actions ranging from a 5% pay cut for 45 days.
Ooh.
Or a 10% pay cut for 6 months.
Still, right? That's not.
Linda Avery was like, cool, so my son is dead. They didn't do anything about it, but they just get a little tap on the hand. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not punishment.
Yeah, that was literally, Linda Avery literally said, quote, so they just get a little tap on the hand. Crazy.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
This is a mess. This episode's a hot mess with all the sounds. The correctional officer who discovered Lloyd Avery's body, refused to comment. He said, quote, I have nothing to say about it, man. I'm retired. It's no longer a part of my life.
Fucker.
Yeah. Like I said, a lot of this is coming from this journalist. So this journalist is reaching out to these people.
Right. No,
it's just collecting comments, yeah. Interviewing family,
Well, it's not part of my life anymore. You were not proactive in doing your job.
Right. Do you think you were ever a part of Lloyd Avery's life? Yeah, you were part of his life to make him safe in prison doing your job, which you decided not to do.
Right.
Wow. Concepts. People Fuckers. Doing their jobs.
I've got a 10% pay cut for 6 months.
Another correctional officer said, quote, these prisoners are assholes. They aren't nice people. So you're trying to get your count done and there's one person who refuses to stand. Are you going to count him in? We like a quiet day. We cherish a quiet day. All of these officers involved in this case, they didn't do it on purpose. Was it lazy? Sure. Do they have absolute regret? Yes. To me, if there's any mystery here, it's why Roby was taken from a single cell status to being in a double. Who cleared it? Prison officials don't clear it. That's management. End quote.
Well, and that's also a point.
Yeah. So then in 2007...
Because you have to... I don't know. Okay.
They have to take some kind of accountability for the prisoner safeties, too?
Yeah. But I was going to say, obviously, he was a danger to other people, but it could be said the same of Lloyd.
Yeah, but Lloyd Avery was reforming and making friends in prison and right. being a good guy.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he deserved it. I mean, obviously,
he deserved to be in prison for why he was in prison.
But I'm saying what I'm saying.
I've had him for months.
Okay, it's fine. What I'm saying.
They're mine now.
Okay, that's fine. What I'm trying to say is that. Never mind. Because it's just like, who do you know who to put together and who not to put together? Because he wasn't diagnosed with schizophrenia until after the Lloyd Avery incident, correct?
Correct.
So he's just dangerous, which, yeah, he shouldn't have been with Lloyd, especially if Lloyd was reforming. But in the beginning, Lloyd was also dangerous.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you know who to put together and who not to put together?
Right.
But if he was in a single cell.
Right. Do you put two violent criminals together or do you put one violent with one not violent and expect just one's going to take out the other one? Like, what do you.
Right.
How do you go about that? Who makes these rules?
Yeah. Who makes the decision, determination? And if somebody's in a cell by themselves to begin with, maybe they just need to stay there. Unless they didn't have any single cells and there was somebody worse.
Well, Lloyd literally went on to sue Pelican Bay, or not Lloyd, Kevin. Kevin went on to sue Pelican Bay because he said he didn't want to be in the same cell as Lloyd. And he kept saying that. He's like, we keep fighting. We have two different religious agendas. I don't want to be in the same cell as this guy. I don't want to be in the same cell as this guy. And then it resulted in him murdering him. I don't know how that lawsuit went. I couldn't find anything on that lawsuit, but I do know that he did at least attempt to sue them.
Okay.
For their role in not removing Lloyd or Kevin from the situation.
Okay.
Which is kind of fair. I mean, it's not fair that he killed him, but it's fair that he was like, that there were, that's on record being like, Kevin asked to be separated from Lloyd. Lloyd was obviously trying to push the agenda onto him, though, of give yourself to God.
Right.
Become a Christian.
Lloyd Read was trying my Bible. To save him.
Yeah, Lloyd was trying to save him from Satanism, which no comment there at all. No, I don't give two shits about what people do religiously. It's just my own personal. But as long as you don't affect me personally in my life, then that's all I care about.
Correct. Agreed.
But everyone's entitled to do whatever the hell they need to do. But yeah, Lloyd was like just trying to convert him and Kevin was like, no.
And I want to be out of here. I don't want to be with this guy. And because you didn't remove me, I ended up killing him. And now I'm going to sue you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically. So then in 2007, Pelican Bay officials wouldn't answer any questions about the matter, citing, quote, third-party confidentiality and other individual privacy concerns, end quote.
Okay.
So they're not talking about it. It's pretty hush-hush. The whole situation. Mm. But as of last year, on August 11th, Kevin is still a piece of shit.
Okay.
At the California Institution for Men at about 8:30 that night on August 11th, 2024, he was exiting his housing unit only in his boxers, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Right. Literally.
But just boxers. Thinking. And officers were telling him to stop, return to his cell, stop. Go back to where you came from. He wasn't listening. I don't know why he wasn't locked in, but he wasn't listening. He continued to walk into the prison yard and said he would kill anyone who was in there. And then he pulled out like a homemade weapon from his waistband of his boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called a code, the officers did, where they formed a skirmish line. I don't know what that means. So I think it's just kind of a line that they formed to as a proactive, protective manner
right.
for themselves, but to apprehend someone. Where he ran towards the line and he stabbed an officer in the side of the head with his weapon that he made himself. And then he was quickly restrained with physical and chemical forces.
Okay.
The officer was then transported to a medical facility where he was treated for his injuries and he lived.
Oh, good.
So he's fine. I mean, I'm sure he's not fine, but he's fine right. enough.
He lived.
He's
fine enough.
Yeah, he lived. He lived through the injuries. He didn't get killed. And he has since been placed in restricted housing and was ordered to move to another facility. And that's all I've got for you today.
Okay. Huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a couple more things if you want to hear them. I have a quote from Chi. Chi said, I like to call it the Tupac syndrome. He felt he really had to prove something when he really didn't. Even if you had money and fame, you will sacrifice all of that just to have respect from a bunch of thugs.
Yeah.
Which was pretty funny.
Pretty accurate, sounds like.
Though. Yeah, and Lloyd Avery's total film history was Boys in the Hood, Doogie Howser, M.D.,
huh.
where he played Red in one episode in 1992, Poetic Justice, Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood, The Breaks, Lockdown, and Shot. And I really want to watch Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood because it's the same, it's the Wayans brothers, the two who made White Chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I told you the other day, I was like, I really want to watch it. I just watched White Chicks. I love White Chicks. And you're like, I hate White Chicks. I was like, oh, you're not my mom anymore. I disown you now.
Well.
Like, who hates White Chicks? What?
What?
Sorry.
What? Sorry.
Like, who are you?
A White Chick hater.
White Chick hater, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. That's it, though.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Or not.
Yeah. I like I said, I feel sad for Lloyd, and I feel sad for Lloyd's family.
Yeah.
And it seemed like prison was probably a good place for him to be, but being dead isn't fair.
Right.
Yeah. And if once, I don't know, obviously that guy had to have had some mental problems, Kevin, in order to do what he did to his...
He was schizophrenic.
Well, I know, but they didn't diagnose him with schizophrenia until after he killed Lloyd, you said.
Yeah.
But if you rape and sodomize and murder your sister.
He was a schizophrenic before that happened.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like he wasn't diagnosed with any kind of mental disorder prior to that. And then he would have been...
He didn't have the label of schizophrenic, but remember, he was either a dropout or discharged from the military because of mental issues.
Right. So they shouldn't have put him in prison.
Labeled lists.
They shouldn't have put him in the general population in the prison anyway.
No.
That shouldn't have been a thing.
Shouldn't have been.
No. All right. Well, that's sad. All of it.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
You're welcome. I knew. I told you it was going to be sad.
I know.
The other day I was having an emotional day and I was like, I can't record this. I texted her. I was like, I can't do it today.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. We normally, unless it's something that we already know, like a case we've already heard before, we normally don't chat about anything in regards to before it happened. Like even once in a while, we'll even just be like, yeah, I'm working on a Lloyd Avery. Have you ever heard of him? No. Okay. Good. I'm glad. Or you'll be like, yes. And I'll be like, okay, then don't spoil anything while I'm talking, even though you still do.
Yeah, but we don't ever really know the whole story. Nobody does unless they do all the research.
Right. Well, even still, it's hard to find whole stories of everything because there's also perspectives and
yes,
opinion pieces on different things.
Always.
But anyway, to my point that we normally don't chat about things before we do them. But I told her, I was like, I can't do it. It's going to be too emotionally heavy. Like, I don't, just the thought of, like, not that killing a stranger is okay, but hurting your own family mm-hmm. and in such a brutal, violent fashion mm-hmm. is horrible.
It's terrible.
And being like, oh, yeah, it was three masked little ninja warrior dudes that came in here and picked her up and stole her.
Right.
But then they find her body discarded in a trash can, like garbage.
Covered with dog food.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like, she meant nothing.
Right.
Like, she was no one.
That's the thing.
And that's his sister.
That's where you would think that he would have had some sort of a diagnosis prior to killing Lloyd. But anyway, clearly he didn't, and that's how it all shook out. And yeah, that's why our prison system isn't awesome here.
Correct.
Yes. Reform is a joke.
Yeah, recidivism rates are high for a reason. Mm-hmm. If that's even if you get out, though.
Yeah.
Because not everybody gets out. I wonder how he even got in the military in the first place, though, because he had to have these issues from a young age. Like, I feel like they don't just, like, I feel like schizophrenia doesn't just manifest one day. It happens all...
It does.
It does?
Yeah, schizophrenia, you could be, like, totally fucking normal, and then all of a sudden something happens.
I guess that's true. I knew a girl that I went to high school with that. Like, I was seeing news articles on her and stuff that, like, they were trying to get her to come back home and chill out. And she was like violent while she was in jail. It was really sad.
Just happens.
Yeah. So. And she was cool and normal, if you will, in high school.
Well, most mental illnesses are kind of just lifelong. But schizophrenia is one of the ones that can have life onset.
I feel like I didn't always have ADHD. I feel like it hit me one day.
I don't know.
Or at least it hit me harder than it had.
I don't know.
Up until one day.
I don't know, because it's hard to tell, and this will totally be off topic, and we should probably stop. So go ahead.
Go ahead what?
And wrap it.
Wrap it up in a pretty little bow? Mm-hmm. That's not so pretty, because Mom, I'm in love with a criminal, and then he died. Mm-hmm. He was gorgeous. Did you look at the pictures I sent you?
I did.
He was beautiful. Like,
yeah, he's a good-looking man.
Yeah, he's a great-looking man. Like, I'm not often, like, blown away. I was blown away.
Okay. Anyway, you can
follow us on Instagram. Is that where you're going with that?
Yep.
At That's Disturbing Podcast, where you can send us a case request, like our posts, comment on them, do your thing, do the Instagram thing on Instagram. And you can send us a case request also if you feel so inclined. That's disturbingpodcast@gmail.com. I probably won't give you my number if you want to text me to send me a disturbing case. I won't text you back anyway. I really suck at that.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to put Daphne's phone number on Instagram.
Yeah. Send me hate mail.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's another thing I feel like we should address really quickly, if anyone's even listening to this far, that someone said that they didn't like, that they were interested in what we did, but like we laughed too much. And someone else was like, you're disrespectful of other religions. No, we don't give two shits. That's the thing. You're disrespectful. No. How are we disrespectful if we don't care?
Right.
Yeah. We don't care about what you do. You do whatever the hell you need to do. If you sacrifice goats in your free time, I might be a little upset for the goat. But if you know, you got to make good with your God, you got to make good with your God.
Right. Yeah. Religious freedom and whatever. As long as it doesn't affect me.
Just don't sacrifice me.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't affect.
Or my dogs.
Negatively. As long as it doesn't affect anyone negatively.
Yeah. I mean, the goat had a life, but you know, it. The goat is not impactful of society on society. So
that's sad. Okay.
But you know what I mean?
I don't know that that's a good example. But anyway, no, but, I think we're not disrespectful of other people's religions.
I'm pretty much a free agent.
Yeah. It's not what we do. And we don't aim to offend anybody or make anybody feel.
No, I have fascinations and
we're all inclusive. So many elements. I think we're all inclusive is what we try to be. But I guess people love us and people hate us.
Yeah, but I guess that's what happens when you open yourself up online publicly. People love and people hate.
Mm-hmm.
Or people are neutral.
The hate just made us sad.
The hate made us really upset. Like, it, like, honestly broke our hearts.
Right.
And somebody said that they jacked off to an episode in our comments. I was like, that is fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
You are gross.
Yeah.
If that is you and you're listening, don't ever listen to us again and fuck right on off. And I hope you laugh the whole way while you fuck right on off.
Yeah, unless you have a lot of friends who can get to listen, then please feel free.
Just if y'all jack off to it again, I'm going to be mad.
We don't want to know about it.
No, I don't want to know about it at all.
Keep that your dirty little secret.
Right?
Any hoodles.
That's it. Bye-bye.